Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above the mist. With a little peace and some harmony, we'll take the world together, we'll take them by the hand.
So, Phil, I think I've told you before that I have a, I've got a playlist on Apple Music on my phone that is dubbed the greatest playlist of all time. Sorry to interrupt you, JC, whoever you're texting right there. And,
No, it's all good. Continue.
Just lean into the camera and put your phone up in front of it. No big deal. We apologize for being on the air. But I call it the greatest playlist of all time. And I have – it's largely country music, headlined by The Chief, of course. But I have so many, like, I've got some classic 90s rock on there that I just love, and I've got some.
Whoa, wait. Classic 90s rock. That's what you're calling it?
I know.
Hold on. Wait. Listen, we know you're the youngest guy on the show. You don't have to rub it in.
No, because that's the thing now with the local radio stations. 90s rock is in the classic rock category now. Can you believe that? I know.
That makes me just sad.
Well, so if you think about it, like, see, John, you're 3 years older than me or four? You're Flint's here, right?
I'm born in 81.
So you're four. Okay, so I was 85. So in high school, because you graduated high school in 2000, right, John?
Yep.
All right,
bro. So you're a millennial.
So when we were in high school, classic rock was like the 70s, right? 70s. Yep. That was classic rock. 30-year difference.
So I mean, think I about get it.
I get it. I know. Yeah.
That's why I say music sucked, but after we got out of school, because I still think people still call classic rock Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, the Allman Brothers is Southern classic rock. It just, there's been nothing. And if you think about the time between from like 91 to like 61, like 61, you had Elvis and the Beatles. I mean, you know, you had people that were into that genre a little bit. But man, you didn't have like outdoor concerts featuring the Mamas and the freaking Papas and everybody's packed in there in the 90s. That music had gone on. Mm-hmm. Our music has never died, my friends. Our music, and with the exception of country music and Taylor Swift, I don't know that any other music's progressed. Lamont Paris has already said hip-hop hit its peak, and it cannot get any better. So there's hip-hop, rock, and everything else, you know.
Listen, yeah, I mean, a stance I firmly support and agree with, yes. But are you trying to say now that the Beatles and the Stones and stuff like that and Led Zeppelin, that's oldies now?
I don't know. I don't think we go that far, right?
I mean, it's all relative. All, time passes on. We all get older, and, you know, we have to shift the way we think about things. But hearing you say the words classic 90s rock just really hit me hard.
I know. Like, is Nirvana classic rock?
No chance.
No.
I mean, Pearl Jam.
That's all
the 90s. The 90s rock, hip hop, country, R&B, the 90s were the best for all of those categories of music.
Every one of them.
Just the best all the way around.
Yeah. Just it never got any better. It's never gotten any better than that.
It's the peak.
I think I would agree with that because I'm a country music guy, and 80s country music is hit or miss. Some of it is I can't do it. I like a lot of 70s better than I like 80s and then 90s.
Yeah, I would skip the 80s country music.
Early 2000s country was, you know, for me, and I'm a guy, like, that's my thing. It's my jam. It was all right. And then I think it's gotten better.
Like, oh, it has. I think country right now, when you throw, like, you know, Luke Combs and Eric Church, Morgan Wallen,
Luke Bryan.
I mean, just you can go on and on. I keep naming.
Country never stopped innovating. Country never stopped innovating. There was a time where it turned pop a little bit, but they got that back under control. I'm with you. Country's never stopped getting good because there's new stuff I like just as good as the old stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I agree. And you know what's cool? When I was growing up, my mom was the advertising director for a big time radio station. So I used to get all the CDs, music before they were even released to the public. I used to go to backstages at concerts that they would sponsor and host. I mean, I got to do so many cool things. I used to go up there and run Georgia football games on the air on Saturdays as a kid. Like they would pay me to go, because they had several different stations. And then this one station you had, their AM station at the radio station. And I would go up there and run the board and do Georgia football games and get to hear Larry Munson talk all day, which is pretty freaking awesome. I mean, I'm not a Georgia fan. All right. Obviously we know why, but Larry Munson is second to nobody.
Agreed.
And we're driving, and they hit us in the backfield for a 3-yard loss, and we can't lay down. It is raining here in Athens, but they got foot speed all over the field. Yeah, no, dude, he is amazing.
Huge fan. Those were the days. I mean, those guys, Bob Fulton, obviously representing South Carolina. I mean, those. Mike Morgan says it all the time. You know, those were broadcasters.
I mean,
those guys, no offense to anybody. I mean, look what happened at Alabama, forcing Eli out over there. You know, like,
yeah, he was kind of the last of his kind. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Like, and I'm happy for Chris Stewart. He got the job because I know Chris, but
yeah. Love Chris.
Eli Gold here, Alabama, is going to return the football. He's kind of that, like that old school, hey, see, what's up, Copper?
Yeah.
How you doing, Copper? Man.
Enough to be the voice of NASCAR, but not Alabama anymore. I don't know, man.
Well, no, sir, not Alabama. Roll Tide, Jamie.
Yeah, JJ, JJ said in the chat box, finding out most country singers have classes to learn the Southern accent made me lose hope for country music. I've heard about that. See, not my guys, not Chief. You know, he's from Grand Falls, North Carolina. You know, I know what you're saying. Like, it's kind of disheartening when people are trying to fit.
Most of the ones I listen to are from Texas, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina. You know, they're from the South.
My guys. Let me give you a name. If you don't know this name yet, remember this name. Warren Zeters. is going to.
I've seen him at Gunther.
He's fantastic, and he writes. Yeah. He's going to be even better and better. Like that Weeping Willow song, I've just put it on repeat. It's on my greatest playlist ever created.
Yep. Craig mentioned Cody Jinks and Sturgill Simpson. Those guys are good.
Cody Jinks, me and my wife, we love Cody Jinks. We've been to,
I saw him.
By. She's walking by in the background. I'm looking at her. And we've been to a ton of concerts, by the way, to Cody
Jinks. Yeah, I saw Cody Jinks open for Dierks Bentley last summer. These crazy ladies at the bar drug us out to the concert. Speaking of those fake Southern accents, imagine how I felt when like they interviewed Larry the Cable Guy for the first time and he was out of character and he's like, "Hi, I'm from Nebraska."
Yeah.
I'm Larry the Cable Guy. I'm like, "You don't talk like you do? Come on, man."
There you go.
Cody, that's a pretty cool hat.
So what you're saying is imagine when the rest of the world first heard Xavier Leggett speak and they thought, "Holy cow, this guy is country as country." He's a hog hunter. He loves to fish. He does everything from old Mullen, South Carolina. And now he plays football for the Carolina Panthers, John.
It's so funny. I was just getting my hair cut a little while ago. And the girl who cuts my hair, I mean, she's a Gamecock. She's like, "I didn't know Xavier Leggett talked like he did." I was like, she's like, "Where is he from?" I said, "Girl, he's from Mullen, South Carolina." And she said, "Oh, that's why he talks like he does." That's
Hey,
that's why
I'm a big fan of him. Big fan, John, for a lot of reasons. We've talked about him a ton around here, and as we pointed out, we got to meet him. And of course, I told him when I introduced him in Flint, I said, "Mike, this is Xavier Leggett." He said, "Xavier Leggett," and I, "Oh, Leggett, okay." I said, "Well, Xavier, you got a long way to go to catch the original 1-9 here, and this guy could really play. So you're going to have to step your game up if you want to be above him on the record books at South Carolina." I think that's what inspired him because he
ended up having the second
best season in the history of the program. So, John, what type – I mean, I know – hold on. Let me rephrase that. That's a stupid question. I know what type of pro prospect he is, and so do you. How do you think he fits in Carolina for who he is as a wide receiver? Will he be maximized there? What do you think?
I think so. I mean, I think Carolina's kind of desperate for a big playmaker who's got that top-end speed and that's also a pretty big dude. So, you know, Bryce Young needs some help. So I think it's a steal for the Panthers, in my opinion. And, you know, they wanted him all along. Everything I've heard was that the Panthers are really high on him. It was their number one guy. Like, that's who they wanted. If they were getting a receiver, they wanted him. And the cool thing is for him is that, you know, his family, grandmother or aunt and all that, you know, it's just a short drive up the road to Charlotte. So pretty cool, man. I mean, how can you beat that? Get drafted in the first round. A team wants you so bad that they trade up a pick, give up their fifth round pick for a sixth round pick to get you in the first round. Like, I mean, how cool is that?
Man, I agree. And for somebody like him, you know, that we know a little bit of his story being from South Carolina, you get to hear the stories. And obviously we know about his parents passing and grandmother raising him and all that. And I got a buddy who's from Mullins that happens to know his family and apparently they're just outstanding. And I'm with you. I think that's really unique that he gets to go up there and play. And he gets to play with a bunch of Gamecocks, John. I mean,
I know, man. I mean, I may have to change my team. I may have to switch to be a Panthers fan.
This is kind of encouraging, dude. I mean, think about this for a second. Like, I don't know what's going to come of all this, but I mean, if you go to ESPN today and look at the Panthers roster, they've already got Xavier Leggett as a starter, FYI. And then on the defensive side of the football, J.C. Horn is in there as a starter, and Jadeveon Clowney as well. I like that. I also don't like forget, the fact that,
Wanham, don't forget Wanham. I think because they got rid of Brian Burns. So DJ Wanham may start for them too.
Well,
did you say Wanham? Yeah. Don't forget him. He's the forgotten man, dude. DJ Wanham was a hell of a player.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great evaluation by Muschamp. And they ended up getting his brother too because of it.
No, you're right. They've got DJ in there as a starter.
Yeah, because that Burns went to the Jets or Giants, one of those two.
Yeah,
at one end. So yeah, they've got a. It does seem like they're trying to sell tickets, doesn't it?
I mean, it seems like I don't know what they're going to look like.
Get these Gamecock fans up here.
You'll know that's the plan if they take Rattler today.
Well, they probably look around every time South Carolina plays in Charlotte, and they're like, well, I'll be damned. There's a lot more folks that come up here from Columbia to watch football than the people that live in Charlotte.
I mean, let's be real. There's a ton of Gamecock alum in Charlotte. There's a ton. Yeah. And then in Rock Hill area, it's Gamecock country, 100%. So,
And that's a suburb, basically, of Charlotte. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've been surprised South Carolina's crowds have not been bigger up there. Like the North Carolina game this year, and a lot of it's been maybe because of the kickoff times. Like the NC State one was on a Saturday, but it was like that and the North Carolina game that lost under Muschamp was like 3 o'clock kickoff. It's 98 degrees.
Well, you know, you have Darlington that same weekend. So when it's a non-home game and it's in Charlotte and then you have Darlington going on, it's kind of like, well, damn, which one do I want to go to, you know?
Yeah. But it was a great Carolina's crowd this time was –
Oh, unfortunately,
because the way the game—I mean, it was like a home game. It was great. North Carolina had their biggest crowd I've seen there too, but they're just not. I mean, you know, you hate to talk about a fan base when the team loses to the team, but you could tell because I left early because I was pissed off, and I was listening to the rally, and then the crowd was ahead of the stream I was watching, and you could tell when South Carolina did something good, and you could tell when North Carolina did something good. It was like a dull roar versus an overwhelming roar outside the stadium.
The other Carolina, the blue Carolina, you know, they're a wine and cheese crowd. You know, we're more knowledgeable sports people and more into it than they are. You know, they got their sweaters tied around their waist and. You know, all that stuff. And,
It looked like
they love lacrosse and women's hockey.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Do you have any Grey Poupon? John, what do you think about Rattler? You think he comes off the board tonight?
Well, honestly, I know y'all had, Daniel on yesterday.
Yeah.
I caught some of that and I know he's super high on Rattler. You know, I didn't have Rattler as high as he does, but I had Rattler top four QBs that are ready to go in the league and play as far as mechanics, footwork, and everything that goes into it. You know, I think like a guy like Drake May, I think he's going to be a great player, but he's got some mechanic stuff to work on. Spencer's the best quarterback available right now in the draft. So at some point today, I think he goes off the board.
Yeah, I do too. And I got a feeling it's in the second round, not the third round. But needless to say, I can't wait for this is the second time in my lifetime. This is the third time. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yep. This will be the third quarterback ever to get drafted out of the University of South Carolina. And you know, the other two guys,
which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, so we had some of this conversation yesterday. So Todd went 90, and then Jeff Grants went in 76 in like the 20th round or something. However, they did it back then, it was kind of kooky. But we were talking about let's just go back 30 years. Yeah, 30 years. That'd be right. Go back to when Tannehill was at South Carolina, which was 94, was his last year, right? I'm pretty sure because he played in the Carquest Bowl in 95. So 94 would have been his senior year, and Anthony didn't get drafted, but Anthony went and started
had a long career. Yep.
So just Anthony and Connor are the only two that have started in the league.
Well, have Todd started a game in have started a game in the league. Yeah. Those two,
Todd never started a game.
No, I think Dylan Thompson played some, but never started a game, obviously.
Yes.
It's Connor and Anthony. They start against it.
Those are the only two that have started.
It's nuts.
So Spencer's going to be – Spencer Rattler will start in the NFL at some point in time.
100%.
Yeah, and then you think about the fact that, like, I mean, because love Steve, I felt like he probably should have had a crack at it, but he didn't get one. And then you go back, you know, your guys, rest in peace to the monumental Phil Petty. You talk about tough son of a bitch. Pardon my friends, but my God, if anybody could put him on their back and carry him, it was Phil, right? Literally, John.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but he wasn't an NFL guy. Neither was Eric, and neither was Dondrell or Corey. And then you start getting into the Spurrier years of guys who had it gone right. Maybe I always felt like Steven had the talent to play in the NFL, but it clearly things didn't work out for him.
Well, things went how they went. I mean, I think there's a bunch of quarterbacks that have the talent, but you know, sometimes it just don't work out like you want it to. I mean, I can speak for my career, you know. I go to the Redskins and, you know, I get cut, didn't make it. But it's a lot of political stuff in that thing, too. And I'm not talking about, like, actual politics, but I'm talking about, like, mindsets that some of these coaches and GMs favor others over another. Because I'll be honest with you, once you get up there and, you know, when you're trying to make a roster, really, you have a few guys who are just superstars, and then everybody else is about on the same level of talent. If you're there and if you get invited to camp, you get to go to camp, pretty much all the guys that are there are just as good as each other. Now, sometimes – some guy's going to have a better week or two than you do, and that may be the cause of you getting cut. But, I mean, a lot of those guys, though, are all the same level. But you do have your first and second rounders or some freak guys like Tom Brady that do turn out to be just much better than everybody else. But then everybody else is pretty even keel, same level. That's why there's only a few guys that are Pro Bowlers off of each team every year.
All right, let me ask you one more quick draft question, and then if it's okay with you, we need to take one final break, and then we'll come back and turn
the page. Yeah, man, I'm in no hurry. I'm just chilling.
Well, I am. I have to be out today at 2 p.m. sharp, so Phil's going to cut the feed at, you know, to 2 p.m. sharp. By the way, Bird in the chat box, that would be a good one for the Panthers. Kool-Aid McKinstry is tonight at 39. Wow, that would make them significantly better in a hurry on that. Kool-Aid and JC out on islands. That'd be something. So last night when Joe Alt got drafted sixth overall out of Notre Dame, I saw him play last year because I was in Jacksonville when they played the Gamecocks, and I remember him being big, but I forgot that he was 6'9", 320 pounds, and I've stood up next to guys named, you know, John Strickland and, you know, Cedric Williams. I don't know. You name all kinds of offensive linemen we've been around over the years. 6'9", 320? Like, you're 6'5", right? So,
almost 6'5".
Okay. 6'9", offensive lineman that moves like that. Crazy, dude.
Yeah, it's a good pick. I mean, he's the number one tackle in the draft. He's a big dude. I watched him stand up in his living room with his family, and he's just huge. Yeah, he's a big dude.
His girlfriend.
I think he was 6. Look, my wife's over here. She hears me talking about it.
Hey, Chrissy.
They said hello. So my wife said, no, I think he's 6'7¾" is what I saw, because she knows what we're talking about right now, that offensive lineman. But either way, he's 6'8", 6'9", whatever, 6'8", 6'7", 3/4", 322. He's a huge human. I mean, he is a big dude. It actually looks like some of these freshman offensive tackles we just signed, to be honest with you.
Well done.
Yeah.
That's where we're going. So don't worry.
But, yeah, man, the only dumbfounded pick that for me last night, the draft, I know you said we're about to take a break, so we'll just roll through this one. But the Atlanta Falcons, what the hell were they doing? That GM should be fired so quick. They have so many more needs than that. They need some edge rusher. I mean, all my friends, you know, me being from Georgia, all my friends, everybody's Falcons fans. And as soon as the pick came through, a bunch of my high school buddies were in a group text. And they said, now this is what you call falconry. And that's what they like to say whenever the Falcons are screwing up and sucking. And they were all pissed off. They did not like it at all. It's just like, this makes absolutely zero sense.
Well, kind of like them blowing a 28-3 lead to Tom Brady.
Yeah, that was crazy too. Yeah.
I reminded DeMarco of that the other day. He's like, yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. You know,
yep.
You'd have a Super Bowl ring if it wasn't for that. But we still love you, Pat. We still love you if you're out there listening. All right. Let's step aside for a quick timeout. When we return, we'll go from one gigantic offensive lineman and Joe Alt to another. Start on the left side, and we'll work our way around the team, of course. But Josiah Thompson, I just can't wait to hear what you've got to say after seeing him play in the spring game last week, because he looks like he's got the tools, that's for sure. Hang tight. John Strickland, he's pretty good at this, guys. We hope he'll stick around for another 20 to 30 minutes right here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's gotta be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me, I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you're
gone. I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover wishing on a star for another, with a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. 336-259-7550.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's the play right there. That was it.
fire.
Yeah, that one made him a lot of money.
Yeah. When he turned it on and got upfield against the Bulldogs of Mississippi State, I remember cutting the mic on that Monday going, yep, that was the one.
Fastest run of the year. Yep. In college football.
Oh, over what? 22 miles per hour, right? Over. Yeah. Clocked that. Yeah. Yeah.
And had he had another 100 yards to go, I'm not so sure that he wouldn't have made it another 100 yards before one of those DBs was just getting to our end zone. I mean, I hadn't seen a receiver run like that around here since Troy Williamson. And Xavier Leggett, I hate to say it because I know how super Troy is as a human being, but Xavier's, you know.
You got to remember, Troy had one just like that versus Virginia in 2003.
99 yards.
Bro, I ran the whole 100 yards, by the way. I blocked.
How'd that go?
I blocked. I saw Troy catch the ball and just run by the whole Virginia defensive backs. Dude, I took off sprinting. I was tired as hell when I got down there, though. But, but yeah, it was fun.
And Troy wasn't out of breath, just turned around like Forrest Gump, handed off the ball, and, you know, walked away. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was – but, yeah, the Troy Williamson catch – I do have to say, though, probably – I mean, I was at the game, but I watched it afterwards, rewatched the game in Notre Dame last year when OD took that pick 100 yards. The call from Taylor Zarzer on ESPN was phenomenal. And just – I thought in that moment, first of all, I thought the ballpark was going to fall down. That was number one. And I thought, there it is. They just sealed it. It's going their way now. And they lost. So anyways, all right, John.
I have a completely different reaction to that.
Yeah.
Well, hey, by the way, trivia question: do you know who has the two longest touchdown passes in the history of South Carolina?
Well, DeAndre Pinkins, or Dondrell Pinkins, and
Dondrell Pinkins,
and Dondrell, yeah. Wait a second.
98 yards at Ole Miss and 99 yards versus Virginia, all in the same year.
98. Was that Matthew Thomas?
Yep.
No. It was Matthew, wasn't it? It was Matthew Thomas.
Down the right sideline. I mean, obviously I was on the field. So
it was 03.
Yeah,
03. We're at Ole Miss, and basically we were having a shootout with them. We were us versus Eli Manning. That game was 40-43. We should not have lost that game. We got screwed on a safety by the official. The official never was the head official in another game ever again after that game, by the way.
Dondrell was three yards outside of the end zone, and this idiot called a safety. I remember watching it on TV. And it was a back-and-forth game. That took all the momentum from Carolina. Y'all got down 43-14 and then made an amazing comeback and cut it to 43-40. And I think we're firing the ball at the end zone at the end to win.
Yeah, we were. We should have won that. We got screwed over in that game, but yeah, Matthew Thomas, 98 yards, right down the Ole Miss sideline.
He could burn too. Yeah, old Matthew Thomas. You know, I always thought that Flint was going to get a 99 yarder, but as I tell them quite often, they just didn't play you enough, Mike. So
yeah, Flint had some wheels, man.
Well, yes, so did Steven. I don't think a lot of people realize this when Steven was on the team, and I think it was Culliver. Peen was three 100ths of a second slower than Chris Culliver. Culliver was the fastest kid on the team. Steven was second, and he was like, well, okay, I catch everything that's thrown to me. I fly. I run perfect routes, and I can't play around here? You gotta be kidding me. So, you know, but that's for another day, John. I tell you who is going to play around here, Josiah Thompson. I'm not so sure that I'm going to run off some ledge and project that he's going to be out there starting game one as a true freshman left tackle. I think let's try to avoid that at all costs, right? For multiple reasons. I'll let you explain those. But overall, as a prospect, when I walked into the ballpark Saturday night, John, and I try to say these things without building a ton of excitement. As you know, they grow legs and they run off, and I get it. And I don't mean it like that. But there were two guys I have never seen in uniform before that had the and it was Josiah Thompson and Dylan Stewart, and it really wasn't close.
Yeah, I thought Josiah did a lot of good things. You know, I told y'all on here back after signing day when I was on here that I thought Josiah had the tools to make an impact this year. Okay. Just from the film I watched on him in high school, he had the tools to make an impact on this line. I think Franks and Pringle, I think they need a good solid year to fine tune a little bit. But I think Josiah has the best chance out of those three linemen to make an immediate impact. And I thought he did some really good things on Saturday.
All right. What is important, though, for him? Where does he need to grow the most as a true freshman offensive lineman?
I mean, obviously, the obvious one is playbook. And then, you know, just your technique. I mean, because he's big enough, those long arms, he's got all of that, all right? He's got the what God gave you, okay? He's got all that. But, you know, just technique, which coaches are going to coach him up. He needs to get stronger in the weight room. He needs to get those arms a little bigger, you know, and they will. I mean, those three areas, man, learn your playbook, learn how to pass stuff off, learn the calls, learn how to read blitzes. It's just a lot of people don't take into account when you're talking about offensive line play. You know, when I was playing and I'm playing center, which I used to make the calls. I used to make all the calls. But you could tell, all you got to do is look at the safety and where they're lined up at. You'll know exactly what the defense is doing just about every time. Sometimes they're going to disguise it. But, man, you can pretty much tell when a blitz is coming from the left side or the right side. You just, if you know football. So he's just going to have to learn stuff like that. But, and then just the weight room, like I said, and I think the kid has the potential to be a first round draft pick one day.
All right. I probably should have texted you this before I throw this out there, but I, without a doubt, feel free to say, I don't want to answer the question. Did you see, because we didn't see them together, but collectively, did you see five guys that you would say if the season started maybe next week, these are probably the five that are trotting out there?
Yeah, I don't want to answer that just because.
Yeah, I get it.
I couldn't give you a truthful answer on it. So I don't want to, you know, just spit off some BS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think there's probably about seven or eight guys that, you know, possibly will be in the mix for those starting five. But like I said, you know, spring game, your starting five that the coaches see that are the best, you're not going to see them together in the spring game. I mean, they're just not. So it's kind of hard to, you know, project anything off of that. I did see some good things though. I like the way some of the run blocking went. I'll tell you what, once we get that running back room fully healthy, I like the way they're looking. I really do. I think this will be the most depth we've had in the running back room in a long time. That's what I see on that. And if we just keep going down the offensive line, I thought obviously Goggles, our Goggles guy, he did some really good things. You know, I think he underthrew a few passes that he could have put a little more on. But other than that, man, He looks like what we all know. If you've been around the program, you watched him last year, if you were able to catch any practices and the spring game last year, I mean, we know what the guy brings with the threat with his legs. So super excited about that. I thought Robbie Ashford made some really good runs, but we only get to see him throw the ball like once, twice, maybe.
I think it was.
So we didn't.
Yeah.
And then guess who he threw it to, who I've been bragging about all spring, Mazia. That's who he threw it to. So that's a bright spot. But I didn't see a whole lot out of the wide receivers. I know we're going to try and get another one in the portal, maybe two. Who knows? So I think that's where some improvement needs to be made. But, you know, these guys got about four more months to bust their ass and, you know, try and get ready to go for the season. But that's kind of my assessment of the offense. You know, we didn't see a whole lot from it. You know, it was very, very vanilla, like a spring game usually is.
John Strickland, 142. Resto Pros of the Midlands presents our coverage of South Carolina baseball right here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Gamecocks on the field tonight. It's 7 o'clock, 6:45 airtime on the, once again, that word, Gamecocks Sports Network. I should probably watch what I'm saying here. Resto Pros of the Midlands, RestoProsMidlandsSC.com, Gamecock owned, Gamecock operated. I hope you don't have to go through it, but if you do, flood, fire, smoke, wind, all the damage nobody wants to deal with on a home or a business. Jeff Sturgis. And by the way, Jeff would challenge John from the size in the size department. They're both pretty jacked up dudes. So maybe a like an arm wrestling match or something is in store down the road for Jeff Sturgis and John Strickland outside of Williamsburg Stadium.
I'm getting too old for that stuff.
There was a video, speaking of that, there was a video floating around, and I can't remember where I saw it, of Brewer punishing somebody in an arm wrestling competition.
Well, you know, listen, Brew, he owns a fencing company, so you think the owner just sits back, whatever. Brew gets out there and gets his hands dirty, and his arms are bigger now than they were in college. I mean, let's just be honest.
That's a good point.
His arms are probably twice as big as mine right now because, you know, I used to be a diehard CrossFitter, workout all the time. But when COVID hit, I hadn't really done a whole lot. So my arms have kind of shrunk, which I'm okay with, man. Like I said, I'm 42 years old, so I'm not really trying to, you know, look all jacked up and all that stuff anymore. I really don't care. I'm just out here trying to enjoy life, have fun. But
Brewer, behind you.
Yeah. But Brewer just, he's jacked up as ever right now.
Yeah. If somebody didn't know Ryan and he walked up and you're like, who's this little dude? Boy, are you in for it? Cause it's over before it starts. Yeah. All right. So let's flip it to the defense. And, again, another, want to say this again, very cautiously, cause JC and I talked about this on Saturday night, in Williams-Brice. And then we've discussed it a little bit on the air here. Matter of fact, got to talk to Pat a lot about this on Monday. And it's a little exciting and energizing to watch that group, John. They're older, they're experienced, they're smart, they're talented. You know, they got to play games, and the large majority of the fan base is probably like, prove it, because we've heard that before. Don't blame them for saying that one bit. But of the collectively of the players they've had around here over the last few years, it's hard pressed to think that there's a group overall it's deeper at least than this one.
Well, you know, so I've been preaching it on here. This D line that we have this year coming up for this season has a chance to be a special group. We got plenty of depth there. And then you had a five-star high school player who still should be in high school right now, but, you know, he's already out here practicing in spring and looks like a second year veteran and probably better than most starters and other colleges around the country. They're super deep. There's a ton of talent there. I mean, that whole D line is just littered with, you know, I know a lot of people like to look at the recruiting stuff. It's littered with 4- and 5-star players all on it. And they have so much talent. And I think they got a chance to be a very special group this year.
You know, a name that I don't think has been mentioned enough, and again, you made the point earlier and you're spot on. You made it last week, too. It's a spring game. Let's calm down. But there are things that you can take. I thought Monkel Goodwine had a really good night. And I'm trying to envision a scenario where he's not – he'll be in the rotation. I get that. But not like – heavily in the rotation. There's a reason he went to Alabama, and there's a reason he was a top 100 player. And just watching him and how he moves and some of his techniques and the strength that he has, I thought he looked super the other night.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, when it comes to the D tackles especially, you really want to say I have 4 or 5 starters, okay? Even though they may – you know, 3 of them aren't going to run out first for the first play of the game. But dude, if you can get 4 or 5 solid guys that are all kind of as good as each other, and if you have that rotation in college football at the defensive tackle position, that's how you win lots of games right there. That's how you win lots of games. And I think from what I've seen this spring, and like I've been preaching, I think we may have that with at least 4, maybe 5 of them. I mean, these guys are, I'll tell you, they're a really good group, and I'm super, excited about to see how they play this upcoming season.
How about the linebacking core?
Linebacking core, man, I thought all those guys looked good, especially, you know, our top three or four guys. But, you know, we got Betts coming back, you know, got a new guy. Then we got Scott. I mean, I think they got a chance to be a really strong group. I mean, they're big, they're physical. They like to hit. You can see that in the practice I went to and in the spring game. I mean, you can see those guys just fill holes and come up and hit the ball carrier. And we saw that last night, last year with Debo. You know, Debo, sometimes he gets a little out of control, but, you know, and gets out of his spot. But, man, he'll come up and just lay the wood to you. And it's what's going to help him, as he had last year, and now he's got this offseason. I think we're going to see him improve. I mean, he was a leading tackler in the SEC last year.
I know. Hey, isn't that something? The South Carolina Gamecocks returned the leading tackler in the SEC. Who did you enjoy watching more this weekend, Sean Elliott or JC at Tin Roof?
Man, we had a good time Friday night.
It was a big time.
The Gamecock Bourbon Society thing at CB18 was fun as hell. I got to see a bunch of my old former teammates, and, you know, JC hung out with me basically about the whole time. And then we went over to Tin Roof and just got a little out of control. That's why you didn't see me out at the tailgate.
I know.
Saturday, because I was licking my wounds on the couch for the spring game. And I was just like, you know what? I was like, I ain't gonna lie. I feel like, you know what, right now. I want to sit here, watch the baseball game, and then I'll get to the spring game when it starts.
I missed Jan's beer tree tailgate because of it. Because I got up and I was getting ready. I was just, no, there was no way I was making it. I got a nap in, though, managed to meet JB out at the stadium, and had four beers like it was nothing. Like, they did nothing for me but make me tired.
Right.
I went and ate a meal and went to bed.
Yeah,
but boy, it was that was a big time, man. I think the bad thing about Tin Roof is they have those little cups of draft beer, and I like draft beer a lot, and I drink it really fast. And then we mix the shots in, and I lost track of the shots, and I never do shots, so I was like, it was one of those nights I checked my phone to make sure I hadn't embarrassingly called anybody, or no, I was a good boy. I went right home. I was just a little sick, so.
Yeah, well, you can blame my wife for that. You know, she likes to buy everybody shots at the bar, so she was just buying them.
She has a big time. She had a big time. We all had a big time. It was great. I can't wait. Can't wait till the next time. Really, it was just that much. I told my wife about it. I was like, it was that much fun, honey. I was like, you got to meet these guys. They're really awesome. So, yeah, on the defense, I'm with you. The more I look at it, the more I look at the players, the more encouraged I am. You know, and a lot of people don't want to get over last year's Florida game or whatever. But look, I'm here to tell you guys, it's a different team. There's different personnel. There's more depth. You guys just mentioned a good point. Debo leading the SEC tackling, part of that was because he was on the field most of the time. I mean, 98, they didn't sub him a whole lot. They didn't sub on the back end a whole lot. They didn't sub up front a lot. Subbing on defense helps because you don't wear out, don't you think?
It's huge. It's huge. So offense, you don't need subs, okay? You will for a receiver here and there, running back here and there. But on the defense, man, you need a two deep. That those guys on the two deep need to be almost or just as good and know everything the first 11 guys out on the field. And if you have in some places where you have a three deep, if you get that many guys brought in and are playing that well, I mean, guys, it keeps your defense fresh the entire game. Because here's the offensive mindset, all right? So we always try and go out there, especially when I played for Coach Holtz. You know, we're gonna run the ball on you. We didn't care who you were. We're gonna run the ball on you, and our goal was, hey, we're not gonna score 40 points unless we have to. But you know, we're not gonna score 40 points, but we're just gonna try and wear your defense down. So come to fourth quarter, you're tired, and we're not. And That's how a lot of offenses do it. And all offenses are designed most of the time to wear your defense down because, like linemen, you know, we only – unless it was a screen pass or it was a sweep and run that I had to run more than 5 yards down the field full speed, that's it. Defensive linemen, linebackers, DBs, man, they're running side to side across the field every which way chasing everybody. You get tired as hell. You get tired as hell, and you need a sub. And if you can get depth on defense, man, it wins you more games. It's a proven fact.
Well, John, I think to your point there, I feel like it's – I mean, I don't want to say it necessarily for Old Dominion. You'd like to think South Carolina will take care of business week one against the Monarchs. No disrespect intended to them at all.
No, they got a good team.
But – you know, week two in Lexington, it's hard for me to look at this, what we've seen, what we know, and all that type of stuff. I'm not dogging the offense now. I'm just saying you got an offensive line that's going to be in prove-it mode. You got a brand-new quarterback. You got a bunch of receivers. We don't know what we're going to get there. They still got to go to the portal. Harbor's got to come back from the Olympics, the whole nine yards. Saying all of that, it's hard for me to believe that there's any scenario other than having to win the first two games with defense. So that defense is going to have to go to Lexington and probably find a way to get them a win if they want to improve to 2-0 before LSU comes in.
Yeah, I mean, you're just going to need some guys on offense that's got to step up. I mean, especially at the receiver position. I think that's the weak point on our team right now. And it's not so much that, you know, we don't have some guys who can play. It's just we don't have a lot of bodies, okay, that can play.
You don't have that guy either. Like that guy. There's a bunch of guys, right. But nobody's – you don't have like a go-to. And this right. kid from Florida State, they're probably going to get. I know he only caught three passes last year, but Florida State was loaded. He's top player in Palm Beach County. He runs like a scalded dog. This could be a guy. I mean, nobody's talking about right now. Trust me. Vandravius Jacobs, football name, right? Receiver name. Yeah, he's visiting. And I got some news, too, guys. There's two official visitors coming in from the portal this weekend. And he's one of them. I reported that the other day here on the show. And the other one is a kid from the University of Nevada, originally from a place you know well, Houston, Texas. He's from Missouri City, strict.
Yeah.
His name is Dale Von Campbell. Here you go, guys. 6'4", 215. So there you go. There's your big guy.
Wide receiver.
It's caught 70 passes combined the last 2 years. 70 passes combined. So
Hold on. Everybody, pause. What? I don't believe number one, what you just said there, you don't have none of this information is available on the Big Spur just yet, right?
It probably is here in a second. I mean the kid from Florida State I reported the other day.
No, I know that. I'm talking about the guys. You said here's some news and these guys are coming in.
Yeah.
Say that again so this information is out there. So go ahead and release the information.
Okay. There are two official visitors this weekend, both at the wide receiver position, both from the transfer portal. The first one is Vandravius Jacobs, who we talked about, who I reported was visiting this week. I reported he's going to be in next Monday, but I think he's going to be in. They changed it to the weekend. The other guy is Delvon Campbell. He's a six-year guy, Craig, just to go ahead and answer your questions. He's a senior. 6'4", 215, Missouri City, Texas. Played at the University of Nevada the last 2 years. Caught 31 and 39 passes, so 70 passes in 2 years. I haven't looked at his film while we've been sitting here. I'd have to do that to give you my big opinion, but there you go. There's your 6'4" receiver guy. I also want to point this out, and I don't know because I'll be honest with you guys. I haven't heard much about this guy, right, since he got to campus. So chances are maybe I'm tinkling in the wind a little bit here. But CJ Adams, who they got in the previous class, is another big bodied guy.
Yeah.
I remember talking to Jamie and Phil on the show about his film. He's out of the Atlanta area. He was hurt all spring. So he'll be back too. So there's another. If you're kind of looking at, plus Nick Harbor will be back. I'm going to agree with Strickland. You look at those guys, like as it stood during the spring game Saturday, Strickland, I mean, you look at it, you're like, man, there's just like a bunch of 5'11 dudes, and there's only about six of them, you know?
Yeah. The guy that you injured, what's his last name again? That tall kid from Atlanta?
CJ Adams.
Yeah, I stood beside CJ for a minute because I was talking to Juju because, you know, Juju's my hometown boy. But hanging out. But he was standing beside Juju. He's a good-looking kid. He's a big kid, too, so. I couldn't remember his name, but yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about him too. So he'll be back healthy this summer. So that's what I was just saying. You know, you got guys out that we didn't see play. It was a small group of receivers for the spring ball. You know, we'll get those guys back this summer, and then we got to dip into the portal and get one or two. So, you know, so you really didn't see everything, but it was a little like,
It's got to get better. And also, Carolina's got good receivers at running back, starting with Rocket, who used to play receiver, Juju.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Jawaan Howell's a good receiver out of the backfield as well. And they got two really, really, really good tight ends.
Oscar now.
And Oscar, a third one coming. Oscar can catch out of the backfield, too. He's a do-it-all. And then a third guy, Michael Smith, coming in that's a stud tight end that could probably play receiver this year at 225. You know, plus Nick Harbor, CJ Adams, you get two guys out of the portal that at least gives you options. I don't think it's going to be anything like 2020 where you had Shai Smith and, you know, or even 2021 where Josh Vannell was your top guy, but there was really, he wasn't Shai Smith from the year before. And then Carolina really did not have a very good receiving core that year, in Chain's first year. I don't think it's going to quite be like 2022, which was a very nice and deep.
Yeah, 2022 was loaded up with.
Yeah. Receivers. So, yeah, you think back on all those guys, and you're like, man, how did they only score 6 points against Florida again? Yeah.
That still blows my mind. It was the craziest. Well, we know why, and I'm not.
We know why. I'm on a sabbatical of talking about him for a while. So.
Yeah.
John. As always, it's been a pleasure, my man. Great stuff. Checks awesome. In the mail. Thanks for keeping JC alive. Give your bride a hug for us.
We'll do it. I took care of JB. He was good. He probably more should have worried about our JC. I said JB because I'm talking to you. But yeah, we took care of him pretty good. So we had a good time. And
it's a blast.
We can do it soon.
Yeah,
I got some big dino beef ribs on the smoker.
All right,
about to go pick the kids up from school and then come back and watch some Carolina baseball in the draft tonight. So
that's my plan. As a matter of fact, after I've got some work I got to do. Full disclosure, by the way, wife and kids left Sunday. We went out to Chapin to see a friend, and they left and went home. And I was about to call you and be like, hey, man, let's go get something to eat or do something. Because I was staying at the condo, at Michael's condo. And it was just me. And I got over there and I sat down and it started raining. And I was like, I hate to do this to Strick and anybody else that I said I'd probably call today, but I'm not moving.
Wow.
The only thing I did was I ordered some chicken pasta and some rolls from California Dream and went, picked it up, came right back, laid on the condo the rest of the night with the door open.
I had a miserable day Sunday. I had to drive to Charlotte, or actually up to Statesville, North Carolina, and back during the rain the entire time. I had to go pick up my trailer and side-by-side from my buddy's shop. So it was not a fun day. The only fun thing about it, we stopped in Charlotte and ate at Cowfish. Had some sushi and a burger, so that was good. But other than that, it sucked. So
yeah, okay. Yeah, so I wouldn't have seen you anyways. All right. Well, that makes me feel a lot better because I felt bad. I'm like, I'm right next to him, and I haven't called him, but I was so tired.
No, I'll take the blame. I should have got off my lazy ass and walked around spring game day, but JC put a hurting on me. So
yeah. It's always his fault. I know. I get it. Phil knows better than all of us. He's been doing it for 40 years or something. So
I will not deny having been in that exact same spot, John. Not at all.
Ask Phil what time we went to bed last time we hung out. So, and that was this calendar year. Damn.
Yeah, let's just say it was no longer nighttime.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so, couldn't believe it. We did have a good time. It'd been a long time since we'd hung out, so good to get called up there, you know?
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
The Chief is ready to take us home. John, have a great weekend, and pull him through.
All right, guys. Y'all enjoy your weekend.
Go Thanks, Rattler guys. And go Gamecocks. How about that? There you go. John
All right,
Strickland.
Let's do it.
Great stuff, right, as always. Thanks, John.
John.
Mm-hmm. Thanks to Derek Scott and Stuart Lake and Mad Dog and Schubert. Thanks to all of you. Pull those Gamecocks through. See you on Monday at 11. I'm headed to my Palm Casual back porch here in a little bit. Have a great weekend.